We are Acts 2:38 salvation message compliant. Are you?
That the Acts 2:38 message is the basic message of Christianity. If you don't believe that, I want to be nice to you, but I want you to tell me why you don't believe it. We don't have to explain to you why we believe it. You've got to explain to us why you don't believe it, because that's the man with the key.
Holy Ghost Radio. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?
And I'm not just trying to hype you up, but I want to tell you, this is one message that's not going down. It doesn't matter if it's pre-modern, modern, or post-modern. This message is hot, it's cutting edge, it's on the level, it's always going to be powerful. You can never outlive its power.
Visit our website at www.holyghostradio.com.
And if you want to be relevant, then preach Acts 2:38, because that's the message that's relevant to every generation.
There is an unction here tonight. And I believe that as important for us to understand where we have been, so it is more important for us to understand where we are headed. And tonight I bring to you a word that months ago, the Lord began to drop in my lap. And at first, I did not understand where the Lord was taking it. It began to overflow in my spirit. It began to unfold. And over the last few weeks, the Lord's been talking to me. And I believe the Lord wants to give us a little indication of where we're headed tonight. And tonight, if we can connect with the Almighty, this week will be a week where ministries are changed, churches are changed, lives are changed, bodies are healed. There are going to be men that will follow me with words from God, and they will minister to you in their own way. But when you leave this week, you're going to leave with a calling and an election and an assurity being ordained of God for this hour. There is an army of God that is being raised up in this hour. And God is positioning His church for the greatest outpouring in the history of mankind. And He is not going to call us to sit on the sidelines, but He is going to put us on the battlefield. And those that wield the sword are going to wield it well. And those that speak as the oracle are going to say what thus saith the Lord. And those with healing ministries are going to go forth with virtue in their hand. And those with divine revelation are going to speak with an unction like they have never spoken with before. But every man, woman, and child is going to be empowered in this day for the church to rise. Come on, if you believe it. Let there be a witness in the house. Come on, let's connect with God right now. Let's release our faith right now. Let's believe that God has not called us here accidentally, but He has called us here for a divine impartation. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord if you believe that it is so? First Samuel chapter 9. First Samuel chapter 9, I'm going to begin reading tonight. From verse 8. First Samuel chapter 9 and verse 8. And the servant answered Saul again and said, Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the man of God to tell us our way. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, Come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, Well said, come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water and said unto them, Is the seer here? Is the seer here? I want to preach tonight the eyes of the church. The eyes of the church. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to join with somebody next to you. And for about 1 minute, could we forget about protocol and programs? And my, we've heard from an anointed choir tonight. And let us connect. Let us connect. God, take hold of our thoughts. Take hold of our minds. Grip our hearts tonight, God. Visit us, Lord God, in this place tonight. Shiraha, Neno Mohukai and Ekeasaya. Come on, let God bring our thoughts into captivity. Let God release a heart of faith in this place tonight. Let God knit our spirits together to hear a word from the Lord. Come on, come on, come on. Let's push beyond. Push beyond. Push beyond. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. You may be seated. God had said in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis unto Abram, Get thee out. The whole essence of God's call to the faithful is for the supreme purpose of separation. It was what God had in mind when he drove Cain into the wilderness from the presence of the Lord. It was what he had in mind when he snatched Enoch from the earth for the cause of righteousness. It was also what he was thinking when he put 8 souls inside of an ark and destroyed the sinful multitude that remained. It is most evidently seen in Israel's exodus from the Egyptian culture, the resounding message being understood that God's righteous seed was never meant to coexist with the unrighteous seed. There was always a marked and distinct difference between the two. They were separated by their character, by their laws, their worship, their dress, and most of all by their relationship with the eternal God. God's covenant privileges afforded them the opportunity that no other God could promise. Obeying his command brought health and peace and prosperity into their lives. And as they upheld the covenant responsibilities, they began to discover the limitless expanse of His greatness and His power. They were to be a nation unrivaled by any other nation on the face of the earth. They were to be feared in order that God's name would be declared in the earth, and in declaring His name, He would also declare His sovereign power. It was this separation that brought the power of God. There wasn't another God that could do the mighty things that He was and is going to do. No other could fill the earth with water and destroy all but eight souls. No other could cause a rock to produce water, a sea to make a highway, or a rod to deliver a nation. These were only a few miracles of a nation that had been separated from iniquity and worldly culture. Their separation brought His power. But God has always been deliberate about the disbursement of His power. He has never showed up without a reason. He has never acted without a cause. The release of His power and demonstration has always been on purpose, in order to lead His people into great promise with great power. He equipped them with a host of agents and priestly ministers to care for and protect them, because God was building Himself a kingdom. God spoke to Abram and said, "Get thee out." It was a command of separation. But He also said that it would be unto a land that I will show you. I'm not going to just tell you about it, but upon your separation, I'm going to allow you to see it with your eyes and behold what I have promised unto you. We don't find it recorded in the biblical account of Abram's call that God ever consulted with anyone on this issue other than Abram himself. God gave him the word, and Abram, by himself, acted upon his faith. Therefore, the placement of blame or criticism or questions that may arise in the family unit, in the body that God had called out and separated, would rest upon Abram's shoulders alone. We see a progression of Abram's understanding of God's direction. It begins first with a word, "Get thee out and I will show you." It was a two-part message used as the method of God to direct His faithful seed into His ultimate promise. We see then God guiding Abraham first with His word and then with His vision. Upon following God's word for approximately 10 years, God then gives Abram a vision. You can only imagine the frustration and the uncertainty that some in the family must have had over the course of those 10 years, sojourning from one place to the other, from one village to another town, to one city to another. And they had to be mostly skeptical, to say the least, saying things like, "Hey, Abraham, don't you think we ought to turn back? Abraham, are you sure that you know what you're doing?" There is always question among the multitude of believers that God has not appeared before. But there is always going to be a man of God that God is going to show up and open their eyes and let them see what He is about to do. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord? And then there was Hebron. When they came to Hebron, it must have seemed as if Abram was no longer connected with the world around him. We find in the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis, chapter 14, that the Lord said unto Abram after that he was separated from Lot. It was a second level of separation. And this is what God said upon the second separation. He said, now, Abraham, He said, I told you what I'm going to do. Now I want you to lift up your eyes. And I want you to look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if you can number the dust of the earth, so your seed shall be numbered. But then there was a command to Abraham, given to him, to tell him, this is what you must do with what you have seen. He said, arise and walk through the land in the length and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. And he became a man obsessed. From that day forward, he wasn't like he used to be. He was never around the campfire with the rest of the multitude and the rest of the family. And everybody sat around the dinner table and around in their tents and around the campfire and around their fellowship tables. And they began to ask, what's happened to Abram? He's not with us anymore. He doesn't even believe that we exist. He doesn't even understand that we are here. We see him walk off in the dusk of the evening, and all we see is a silhouette, and we find him dragging back home in the morning, and all he is doing from sunup to sundown is walking. I don't understand what he's doing. I'm sure that they began to criticize. I'm sure that they didn't understand, but it's just a fact that God raises some men up that don't see what the rest of the multitude is seeing. That's why when some people get a dream or a vision, not of their own ambition, but a dream from God, a vision from God, and they began to act upon what they have seen. The problem is that everybody hasn't seen what they have seen. And they begin to criticize a man or a church or a people because they can't understand. But can I tell you tonight, God will find himself a man, and God will raise him up, and God will let him see. Come on, clap your hands unto the Lord. We're headed on a journey tonight. We're headed somewhere in the Holy Ghost. Would you clap your hands if you believe it? These men are called to give direction to God's people. God did not tell the whole family. He told Abram. And the question lies in our mind tonight of who Abram really was. Was he just an arbitrary believer? Was he just a preacher? Was he some kind of priest? And we find the answer when they sojourn in a place called Gerar. when he got himself in trouble by lying to Abimelech, saying that Sarah was his sister. And God came to Abimelech in a dream. And he said, you're a dead man. Sarah is another man's wife. And upon Abimelech's repentance, God spoke in the 20th chapter of the book of Genesis and verse 7 and said, now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. Here we see the purest example of what a prophet should be. A man who has seen where God is taking his people and what he has promised them. A man who will stand as an intercessor between man's sin and God's judgment. God spoke in the 18th chapter, verse 17 of the book of Genesis and said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I will do? There was such an affection and an affinity with this relationship that Abraham had with God. He said, I'm not going to do anything until I show him what I'm going to do first. God doesn't ever sneak up on his church and surprise them. There's always going to be somebody that's going to see what everybody else isn't seeing. And God is going to lead his church into his promise. He said, shall I hide it? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation. And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him that he will command his family and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. But we don't like the judgment that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken. And God came to Abram, listen, and he said, I am going to destroy Sodom. In this passage, I can almost hear the heartbeat of God saying, if anybody can bring something good out of Sodom, it's going to be Abraham. I'm going to tell him before I do it, if by chance there may be some kind of revival in Sodom.